This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه والسراج المنيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honestly, it's an absolute pleasure. I just want to thank the administration of the masjid for inviting me over to deliver this very, very, very important lecture on making sense of what is happening around us. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, the heart bleeds to see that which is happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, right? And when we see these kind of things happening, as the Sheikh mentioned, one begins to pose questions to himself, trying to make sense of the situation, right? And some of these questions, my brothers and my sisters, can at times lead an individual on the brink of his faith if they go unanswered. And as I always say, my brothers and my sisters, and I think, inshallah, this will be something we all write down. I normally tend to regurgitate this to a lot of the university students. Just because we don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. I'll say that again. Just because my university friend who's asking me this question doesn't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. And for the last time, because it's sunnah to make it three times, right? Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Unfortunately, my brothers and my sisters, when we go to some of these universities that are breeding grounds for all types of shirk, kufr, feminism, liberalism, secularism, atheism, all of the different isms and schisms. And as I always like to mention, the rainbow team is extremely active there as well. Sahih. Looking to strip you of your faith. You may run into professors. And these professors, my brothers and my sisters, don't really care whether you're a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim. He is looking to rip you off your religiosity with all of these different questions that will get posed, which gives an individual, my brothers and my sisters, doubts about his faith. Another important principle, I'll call it, right, that I normally tend to mention to our brothers and sisters at university. Anyone here doing medicine? MashaAllah. 1, 2, 3. If I may ask, what year are you in?
First year.
First year. What about you? Second year. It's better than you. Huh? If I ask both of you questions about medicine which you didn't have an answer to, would you think about leaving med school? Why not? You should just leave, isn't it? Because you don't have the answers. Huh? Would it be smart and intelligent to do so? To just leave med school because you didn't have the answers to that question? هذا هبل. Right? Doesn't make sense. Right? The same goes when it comes to Islam. If we, my brothers and my sisters, haven't taken that journey, traversed that path of learning about Al-Islam, my brothers and my sisters, we are bound to come across questions, problems that we don't have answers to. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every individual, my brothers and my sisters, that has knowledge is one that has more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everyone. Agreed? No. So just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. And today, my brothers and my sisters, I have catered this discussion around the issue of Al-Qadr. I believe, my brothers and my sisters, a lot of these atheists who struggle to make sense of what is happening around us as Muslims and non-Muslims, as a society as a whole, if they understood this issue of Al-Qadr, perhaps a lot of that which they have embraced would be removed. Right? A big part of it would come back to the issue of Al-Qadr, predestination. We hear this all the time, right? When something goes wrong, قدر الله ما شاء فعل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it, and He does as He wishes. Agreed? It is a deep topic, my brothers and my sisters. But what I've done is I've summarized it. And inshallah ta'ala, we walk away with the keys to understanding Al-Qadr. Then I'll start speaking about some of the doubts that are thrown around, which will help you inshallah ta'ala make sense of the situation that is currently taking place and unfolding and unraveling right before our eyes. Right? Al-Qadr, my brothers and my sisters, which every single individual has to believe in, right? أن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. The articles of faith. We grew up hearing the six articles of faith that you believe in Allah, وملائكته وكتبه ورسله, right? واليوم الآخر, to believe in Allah, the last day, the messengers, the malaika, right? And the hereafter, صح? And then right at the end, what are we told? That you believe in the good and the bad qadr. Sahih? That you believe in the good qadr that takes place and that which would be considered by many as bad. Sahih? It has pillars, my brothers and my sisters. It has pillars. Very, very quickly, four pillars. None of us, inshallah ta'ala, will forget this. The first pillar, my brothers and my sisters, al-ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has taken place, that which is taking place, what is going to take place, and if something was to take place, how this would take place. Are you promises with me? Even that which is going to take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, He tells us about ما اتخذ الله من ولد وما كان معه من إله إذن لذهب كل إله بما خلق ولا على بعضهم على بعض. Allah Azza wa Jal, He negates the fact that He has a son or a child, right? He said, if there was another God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what this God would do? It would lift itself above the other gods that are out there, right? And then each one will be fighting for kingdom, for sovereignty. Let me ask you guys a question. Is this ever going to happen? Is there ever going to be two gods? Right? That's never going to happen. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a hypothetical situation that if something was going to happen, how this would end up taking place. Even though it's never going to happen. So Allah knows that which has happened, that which is happening, that which is going to happen, and if something was going to happen, how this would take place. Right? Even in the time of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers and my sisters, Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and also Abdurrahman al-Himyari, they were from amongst the Tabi'een. Right? They headed towards the Kaaba in order to perform either Hajj or Umrah. And they told themselves that if we find one of the companions, we will tell them about, right, a new notion that has now come to light. So they went to Abdullah ibn Umar and they told him that there's a group of people, they claim to have knowledge, and all of a sudden now, my brothers and my sisters, they have this belief, إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ أُنُفْ. What does that mean? You have this bottle of water, right? I'm going to drop it. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know that something is going to happen until it happens. This is in the time of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Upon hearing this, he became furious. He says, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ, tell them, أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ بُرَاءٌ مِّنِّي. I'm free from them, they are free from me. And then he swore by Allah, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one who my soul is in his hand. لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبًا ثم أنفقه في سبيل الله ما قبله الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. If one, my brothers and my sisters, had, you know, the mountain of Uhud, put your hand up if you've been to Medina. Quite a few of us. When you go to Medina, you would normally go to where the battle of Uhud took place, right? You have that small mountain, Jabal Rumah, the mountain that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam situated 50 of his companions and placed in charge of them, Abdullah ibn Jubair. And then the rest were on the battlefield. Behind it is a huge mountain called the Mountain of Uhud. So if you had like this in gold, my brothers and my sisters, and then you gave it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, it will not be accepted from you until you believe in the Qadr. which shows us the importance, my brothers and my sisters, of learning about the Muslim's doctrine, the Muslim's belief. It will save you in situations like the one that we're going to be discussing today. People have become atheists because of a khalal, deficiency in understanding al-qadar, the predestination, the evil that they see unraveling right before their eyes. Right? Second one, my brothers and my sisters, or the second pillar, al-kitabah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything down. As it came in the hadith, أن الله عز وجل قدر الخلائق أو أن الله عز وجل خلق الخلائق والمقادير قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. 50,000 years before the heavens and the earth were created, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything down. There's another narration as well, right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the first thing that Allah azza wa jalla created was the pen, and told the pen to write down everything that's going to happen ila qiyam as-sa'ah, up until the day of resurrection. What was the first pillar that we mentioned? Al-ilm, Allah azza wa jalla's knowledge. Number two is what? Al-kitabah. And you're probably wondering to yourself, if everything is written down, then why should I do anything? Huh? Is that what you're wondering at this moment in time? Then I'm like a feather in the middle of the wind. You know, a feather in the middle of the wind, does he have the ability to move which direction that he wants? Are you like that, my brothers and my sisters? If someone now wants to steal something from the local news agents, he wants to steal a crisp. He's going to choose which crisp he wants, sah? Whether it's prawn cocktail or salt and vinegar. Already salted, right? So that brings me, my brothers and my sisters, to the third point, which is what al-mashi'ah. Nothing happens in the cosmic universe, my brothers and my sisters, except that it is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even this man who steals the crisp, everything, my brothers and my sisters, happens under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. And it's mentioned in the Quran, right? Are you brothers and sisters with me? The mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates what He wishes and He chooses what He wants. Okay? So many other verses. But I think we get the point. Nothing happens in this cosmic universe, my brothers and my sisters, unless it is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain things may happen, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. Someone now becoming an atheist, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with that? No. But it happens under the will of Allah jalla fi'ula. And I'm going to elaborate. I know you guys are probably having now a lot of questions, right? And the questions that you find outside of the masjid are far greater. But inshallah, we will answer all these questions, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll have a Q&A as well. Yeah? You know, when you understand and accept, I think it's worth mentioning this point, right? That everything happens under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He chooses what He wishes. قُلِ اللَّهُمَ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَنْ تَشَاءَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives sovereignty to who He wishes, and He takes it away from who He wishes. Kings we see, tomorrow they're toppled over. The kingship has been what? Stripped off of them. Like, if you know, my brothers and my sisters, that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should you have envy towards others? Right? If you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla directly, He can give that to you. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala was one of the four great imams of fiqh. We've heard of him, right? Who's the first? Imam Abu Hanifa. He was the oldest from amongst them. Then who? Imam Malik. Number three? Imam Shafi'i. And then our Imam, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Yeah? It's the madhab that I follow in fiqh. Long story cut short, my brothers and my sisters. Imam Shafi'i said, أَلَا قُلْ لِمَنْ كَانَ لِي حَاسِدًا أَتَدْرِي عَلَى مَنْ أَسَأْتَ الْأَدَبْ أَسَأْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي حُكْمِهِ إِذَا لَمْ تَرْضَ بِمَا قَدْ وَهَبْ. Say to the hasid, right? أَلَا قُلْ لِمَنْ كَانَ لِي حَاسِدًا. The one who's being envious towards you. Do you really know who you have showed bad manners to? أَسَأْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي حُكْمِهِ. You indeed have shown bad manners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which He has chosen to take place within His sovereignty. Allah chooses, right? وَرَبُّكَ يَخْرُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَخْتَارُ. Because you weren't pleased, he says, with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for so and so, and what he didn't chose for another, or choose for another. And then he recited a statement of Allah, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Do they distribute the livelihood of people? نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah says, it is us who distributes the livelihood of the people. Gives it to who he wishes and takes it away from who he doesn't want to give it to. And just because someone is being given something, it doesn't necessarily always mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that individual. That's an important aspect, my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes we're sitting around thinking, why is Allah giving my brother all of these properties and all of this wealth and I don't have it? And we begin to show a level of disrespect to Allah Jalla fi'ula. Right? Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, money changes people. I was actually discussing this with a brother as we were driving here, of something that happened in his locality. Right? That causes you now to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make wealth a fitna for any of us. Right? Say ameen.
Ameen.
Right? I come across people that are filthy rich, multi-millionaires at times. Right? However, just to get him now to start worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal is a trek. Extremely hard. Or people who weren't rich once upon a time, they ended up getting a flux of so much wealth. Akhi, nowhere to be seen. Gone. Far away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You should be thankful. And as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرُزِقَ كَفَافْ وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that wish, makes you satisfied and content. Right? This is indeed, my brothers and my sisters, the essence of what we are in need of in this world. So how many pillars, my brothers and my sisters, have we taken so far? Three. What's number one? Al-ilm. That Allah Azza knows everything that's happened. That which is happening, that which is going to happen. And if something was going to happen, how? It would happen. Number two is what? Everything is written down. Kitaba, Hasant. Number three, Al-Mashi'ah. Nothing takes place in this cosmic universe unless it happens under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you shouldn't blame that person who has a nice car. Right? You should ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give you what he has. Right? Or to make dua for that individual. One of the best ways to get rid of envy, my brothers and my sisters, is to make dua for that person that you envy behind his back. Wallahi, one of the greatest ways to get rid of envy. See how you feel right after that, subhanAllah. Some of the scholars imagine this is the best of cures. You're alone. Imagine last set of the night. Ya Allah, give him more. He already has more than me. Ask Allah to give him more. Yeah, na'am. Yes. Allah gives him more and you'll get more as well. Because of what the hadith of the Prophet says when he said, دَعْوَةُ الرَّجُلِ لِأَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ مُسْتَجَابَ فِي ظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. The dua that you make for your brother in his absence, it is being accepted. Right? Allahu Akbar. عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ مَلَكٌ مُوَكَّلٌ يَقُولُ آمِينُ وَلَكَ مِثْلٌ. Above his head is an angel that has been appointed to say Ameen, which means, what does Ameen mean? Ya Allah, accept. Allahumma istajib. And you can have the same as well. I know, brothers, it can be hard, right? To see others doing better than you, and you are suffering from this inner struggle. It's hard. But ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Allah Azza wa Jal has more than what the mind can imagine. That He can give to you in a heartbeat, my brothers and my sisters. Number four, my brothers and my sisters, Al-Khalq. Both you and your actions have been created. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. Allah has created you and your actions as well. Are you promising this with me? Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. Everything that you do, right, is created. Then again, you're probably wondering how, right? Does that mean I'm like a feather in the middle of the wind? I have no choice whatsoever. No, my brothers and my sisters. You do have a choice. Because Allah Azza wa Jal gave us that choice to do as we wish. Even though it still falls under the realm of it being created and nothing takes place. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Right? Nothing do you wish for except that this all happens under what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to take place in this cosmic universe. Right? So you have what? A choice. You have willpower to do as you wish. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed that for you in the Quran. So don't turn around to me and say, look, wallahi, I'm just committing zina, qaddar Allah ma sha fa'al, and then he goes, murder someone, qaddar Allah, Allah decreed laha. You know, in the time of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions this in Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, that a man was caught stealing. And then he was brought to Umar al-Khattab and he said, oh Umar, this is the qadr of Allah, Allah decreed it. And he said to him, the qadr of Allah is also that I'm going to chop your hands off. Don't use the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal to justify your haram. And this is what, my brothers and my sisters, the mushriks in the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would also do. They would use the qadr of Allah to justify their shirk and their sins. Or they would even what? Blame Allah Azza wa Jal. سَيْقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا أَبَاؤُنَا. If it wasn't for Allah, we wouldn't commit shirk. This is what they would say. This is how they would blame Allah Azza wa Jal for what they were doing. And Allah tells us, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ. Whoever from amongst you wants to take the right path, he can do so. Also, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever from amongst you now wants to become a Muslim, he can do so. Whoever from amongst you wants to become a kafir, he has every right to do so. Right? Did everyone get that, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? Are we clear so far? These are the ta'seelat that we want to go through before we start tackling some of these doubts. Four pillars. Allah knows everything. Number two. Huh? Everything is written down. Number three. Al-Mashi'ah. Nothing takes place in the cosmic universe except that Allah Azza wa Jal, right, has willed for. And number four, everything has been created. Even your actions have been created. Does that mean you are like a feather in the middle of the wind? Huh? Does anyone ever force you to be pushed over the cliff? Well, most of the time, yani. Unless somebody grabs you and ties you up and then throws you, no, you don't. Right? We're talking about somebody now that goes to the cliff and says, you know what? It's the destiny of Allah that I'm gonna now fall over the cliff. La, abadan. You have the choice to stop yourself, right? Are you like a feather that's going right to the edge of the cliff and then khalas, it falls over? La, laysa al-amru kadhalik. Are you promises with me? Tayyib. That brings me, my brothers and my sisters, onto the evil that we see taking place right before our eyes. We see that which is displeasing, unfolding and unraveling, my brothers and my sisters, right in front of us. How do we make sense of that? People say all the time, my brothers and my sisters, this loving, compassionate, off-forgiving Lord of yours that you keep going on about. Why is he not stopping all of that which we see right before our eyes taking place? These innocent children. Isn't this what we hear all the time? Atheists. They have this notion moist on their tongues all the time. And because of it, I don't believe in Allah, they say. Right? If there was really a compassionate God, this wouldn't take place. He would have what? Stopped it. I'm going to break this down into two, inshallah ta'ala. The first, my brothers, my sisters, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, by the way, I'm Abu Taymiyyah, he's Ibn Taymiyyah, 728, that's when he passed away. He mentioned something very, very powerful, and I suggest everybody writes this down. This will help you put a lot of things into perspective. He says there is nothing that Allah Azza wa Jal creates, and Allah Azza wa Jal la yakhluqu sharran mahda. There is nothing that Allah Azza wa Jal creates or brings into existence that is purely evil. In fact, it is subjective. It is what? Subjective. But you're going to probably say to me now, hasn't Allah Azza wa Jal created Iblis? Isn't Iblis purely evil? But can we say that his existence is purely evil, my brothers and my sisters? Think about it. Iblis comes to you and he whispers. And he says, "Oh Muhammad, look at that lovely looking lady. Huh? Go and ask her for a hand in marriage. Or look at that lovely lady on Instagram, aka Fitnagram, slip into a DM for the purpose of marriage." Huh? Let's be honest, guys. Does that shaitana whisper every now and again? He slips into the DM and the shaitan is saying, "Give her da'wah. Call her to Islam. Huh? Call her to Islam. White blonde lady that you came across, oh, she's not a Muslim. Call her to Islam." I'm not prejudiced, it just came to mind. Are you guys with me? Give her da'wah. And you know, my brothers and my sisters, a couple of minutes go past, she ends up giving him da'wah. By sending him stuff that blows his mind away, and then all of a sudden, my brothers and my sisters, one haram leads to another. What does the smart sinner do in this case, my brothers and my sisters? What does a smart sinner do in this case? Huh? He makes tawbah. We all sin in a Bani Adam a khatta. Constantly we make mistakes all the time. The smart sinner, what he does, he runs back to Allah Azza wa Jal. From being someone who committed this filthy, despicable act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And this person is in trouble now, my brothers and my sisters. He has to hasten to making tawbah. We all make mistakes. Are you guys with me? The smart sinner, what does he do? He runs back to Allah and makes tawbah, cries his eyes out, "Ya Allah, forgive me." What does Allah say in the Quran? "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin." Allah loves those that constantly keep coming back to Him and loves those that are pure. From being so hated by Allah due to the whispers of the devil that we mentioned, right? It's purely evil, but can we say that his existence is purely evil, my brothers and my sisters? It led him whispering to you all the way up until now, you've become so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It originated from where? The whispers of the devil. What did Ibn Taymiyyah say? That Allah Azza wa Jalla does not create anything that is what? Purely evil. In fact, it is subjective. Everything that you see happening right before your eyes, my brothers and my sisters, you can put a positive take on it, or you can give it a positive spin. Now we look at the issue of Palestine, my brothers and my sisters. Innocent people that are being butchered and massacred. Young innocent lives that are being taken. A bomb drops, my brothers and my sisters, and takes all of these children. And these innocent human beings. From the apparent evil, my brothers and my sisters, from the apparent. Let's just think outside of the box. If these people pass away, where are they going to end up? Insha'Allah ta'ala. In Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. As martyrs. As Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. Allah chooses from amongst you who He wants as shuhada, as martyrs. You know, my brothers and my sisters, I'm sure you guys have come across this, right? There are people that want to take their lives. Isn't it so? Even in Switzerland now, they have this new, what do you call it, box? Is that a box? What do you call it? Huh? A port. A pod. Right? A pod that you insert yourself into. You pay a certain amount. What does it do? It sucks the air out. And then you can leave this world peacefully, as they claim. They are sick of life, my brothers and my sisters. And then he goes what? And commits suicide. There are many, my brothers and my sisters, that I come across all the time. They're sick and tired of the challenges of life. And they're living here in the UK, brothers and sisters. They're not living in the world's most open, or should I say, the world's biggest open prison, like our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Right? Who are in a very, very tough, difficult situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses as He wishes. This is an important thing. Allah created this universe and He can do with it whatever He wants. Right? You know, earlier I mentioned, right, and this is now the second part how I'm going to deal with this scenario of if there's really evil and Allah is so compassionate or God is so merciful, why is He allowing this to take place? My brothers and my sisters, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only all passionate? Not passionate. All compassionate and all merciful? Is there another side to Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself tells us that He's shadidul iqab. He's very, very severe in His punishment. Let me ask you all a question, my brothers and my sisters. Someone oppresses you. The other day, as I was leaving a masjid, a brother said to me, how do you deal with family members that make your life hell? They've been spoken to and they still keep doing magic on him and his family. Right? What can I do? I report them to the police won't be able to do anything. They're making our lives hell. At times, my brothers and my sisters, you reach a point in your life, right? I'm leaving this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's nothing more you can do. Right? While at the same time, my brothers and my sisters, you would love for justice to be established. Sah? So this compassionate, oft-forgiving, merciful Lord has another side to Him. These people, my brothers and my sisters, the Israelis, that are massacring and killing our brothers and sisters, right? Don't they deserve, my brothers and my sisters, to be dealt with accordingly? Right? He's not only compassionate. They have a day, my brothers and my sisters, where they will be dealt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according. Sometimes when I see that which they're doing to our brothers and sisters, my brothers and my sisters, right, I think to myself, makes a lot of sense why you have a hellfire, sah? Makes a lot of sense, right? Why you have a hellfire, right, that will burn them into coal because of what they are now doing to our brothers and sisters. Allah is fair and just in His hukum. I'll give you guys another example. You know, yesterday, subhanAllah, I was delivering a class. One of the sisters actually asked this question, right? Saying, but young kids, they don't deserve this, right? Blown into pieces. A mother losing all of her children, the pain that she has to endure. My brothers and my sisters, let's take a quick stroll through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had seven kids. Seven kids. Six out of the seven children that the most greatest man to ever walk on the face of this earth had, they all passed away in his lifetime. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Right. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, you guys are aware, they were starved for a period of time, sah? Right? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved wife Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was slandered. That's not just slandering his wife, this is a slander against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, my brothers and my sisters, was one of the toughest situations that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to deal with. Right? This is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His uncle, my brothers and my sisters, who used to protect him, كَانَ يَحُوطُهُ. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying his utmost best to get him to embrace al-Islam. On his deathbed, he says, يَا عَمْ of uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ. Right? A statement, I will defend you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you had his bad companions, أَتَرْغَبُ عَن مِلَّةِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. You desire other than the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And then the Messenger will repeat it, literally back and forth like that. Right? And he didn't take his shahada. You think this is easy, my brothers and my sisters, what the Messenger is going through? There were times when the Messenger lost the battle, right? Born as an orphan. His father wasn't alive. Then his mother passes away. Then his granddad passes away. This is all before he has reached the age of adolescence. Why, my brothers and my sisters, did Allah Azza wa Jal choose to make the greatest man to ever walk on the face of this earth, right, go through all of this? Why? So when you come on 2024, my brothers and my sisters, and you think you're having a hard time, you can what? Take inspiration from that. Right. We know the qissa of, that is mentioned in Surah Al-Buruj, the boy and the king, right? The trench. When, right, some of these children, my brothers and my sisters, babies were buried alive by the tyrants of that time. All of these stories, my brothers and my sisters, when Allah Azza wa Jal talks to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Musa, about Isa, about Yaqub, about those prophets like Yunus and Ayyub and the rest of them, what was the objective behind them, my brothers and my sisters? To inspire the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To inspire the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ease the pain that he was experiencing. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that which they keep saying about you is causing a lot of pain. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Right. So everything that you see happening, my brothers and my sisters, even though from the apparent it is evil, it is hard to take, but you can put a positive spin on it. Now going back to when I was speaking about the Palestinian situation, they, inshallah ta'ala, are going to end up where? In the highest part of Al-Jannah as martyrs. This taking place, my brothers and my sisters, resulted in what? In all of the years that I have remained on the face of this earth, I'm not going to tell you guys my age, right? The X amount of years that I spent on this earth, I've never, ever seen this amount of non-Muslims picking up the Quran and reading it. How many videos have we seen, my brothers and my sisters, of non-Muslims picking up the Quran saying, I'm going to read it. Men and women. Right? Didn't a lot of good come out of the situation? Even though the heart bleeds. Right? Seeing that which is happening to our brothers and sisters. And that doesn't also mean, my brothers and my sisters, that the blame is lifted from those who are butchering and massacring our brothers and sisters. Abadan. There will come a day when they will be dealt with accordingly. Right? But we're talking about how to make sense of these things that are happening around us. These non-Muslims, they would say, we want to know where this inspiration is coming from. We've seen that video of that uncle inside of the hospital, lost all of his kids. They would say, right, قَتْلَانَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Those who passed away or were killed from amongst us, they're in Al-Jannah. What are you guys crying about? Right? That is a man with iman. Right? May Allah Azza give us similar iman, my brothers and my sisters. They indeed have professed and showed us practically how to apply a tawheed. A lot of the time, my brothers and my sisters, we learn it theoretically. It's one thing, my brothers, learning it, it's another applying it. Right? They've shown it, my brothers and my sisters, through their limbs. Look at all the good that came out of it. Right? All of these non-Muslims are picking up the Quran. It's a question to think about. If someone said to me, you know, it came to my head the other day, Abu Taymiyyah, you being, right, you being killed at the expense of millions of non-Muslims becoming Muslim, would you take the deal? It honestly made me think. Right? Subhanallah. وَلِلَّهِ الْحِكْمَةُ الْبَالِغَةِ. Everything happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. Even when it came to the qissa of Aisha that I told you guys about earlier, right, mentioned in passing. She was slandered, brothers and sisters. Like imagine someone slandering your wife or your daughter, right? Allah said in the Quran, after everything that happened, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوا شَرًّا لَكُمْ. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ. Is it شَرًّا? شَرًّا, right? لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Do not see it, my brothers and my sisters, as something bad. See it as something good. What was the good that came out of the situation? So many verses came down, exonerating Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha from these allegations that were made. And it established the virtue of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And also what happened, my brothers and my sisters? The hypocrites were exposed. Those who spread this slander, they became known to the people, so they started being so much more wary. And this is also exactly what happened, right, with the whole Palestinian situation. The hypocrites couldn't hold themselves together. Started coming out and saying all sorts of stuff. Exposing themselves with their own tongues. Right. Also, my brothers and my sisters, when we look at the story of Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam with Musa. Does anyone know who Khadr was? What was he? Was he a prophet? Was he not a prophet? Huh? Wallahi, there's a different opinion. Some say that he was a prophet. Why? The evidence for this is when he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. We know that Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam done a number of things. One of the things that he done was, he killed a young man. He literally ripped his head off his body. Another time they boarded a ship. What did he do? He put a hole in the ship. Huh? He put a hole inside of the ship. Like, Musa can't make sense of it. The other third incident was, it was crashing down, right? This wall of these Aitam, he ended up fixing it for them. When in reality, they treated him badly. They didn't host them. He said, why? So anyways, Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam, after doing everything, he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. I didn't do all of this out of my own accord. Right? Meaning it was revelation that was coming down. So anyways, going back to the issue of when he killed that young man. وَأَمَّا No, the verse when Allah says, فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَ غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَهُ قَالَ قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Musa couldn't make sense of it, my brothers and my sisters. He sees Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam, who he is now accompanying, wanting to learn from, approaches this young man, literally grabs his head, what? And rips it off his body, kills him. Musa, what are you doing? You're indeed doing something that is really evil. He gave him his final warning. Don't ask me again. The point is, my brothers and my sisters, who was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Who was he? Any random individual or was he a prophet? Taib, out of all the prophets, he was top five. Top five. Ulul Azm. The prophet of Allah couldn't make sense of why Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam was doing it. Because as I mentioned, whatever Khadr was doing, it was out of revelation. Right. You know, I like to use this example a lot, my brothers and my sisters. Can anyone hear that which is taking place outside? Can anyone see that which is taking place outside? Can't, sah. Can anyone smell that which is being cooked in the local or maybe the neighbors next door? You can't. So you've accepted that all of these body parts are limited, sah? Why do you fail to accept that your intellect is limited as well? So many a time it doesn't make sense to us. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to make something happen at a certain time. Years go by, then we might say, oh subhanAllah, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Sahih? Two examples very, very quickly. Elon Musk buying Twitter. Is Elon Musk a Muslim? He doesn't realize how indirectly, my brothers and my sisters, he helped the Muslims in understanding and seeing that which is taking place on the ground. And likewise, the non-Muslims. For those who are on Instagram or Fitnagram, Facebook, Fiskbook, whatever you want to call these different apps, the Book of Transgression, right? It has been, huh? What happened to these apps? There is a whole load of censoring that is taking place. Elon Musk comes along a couple of months before the Ahdath al-Filistiniya, right? Buys Twitter and there's no censorship whatsoever. You know, my brothers and my sisters, year in, year out, when the Israelis, they would attack, right? They would attack Masjid al-Aqsa, the Zionists. I would always see debates amongst Muslims. No, no, stop spreading this video. This video is from 2 years ago. This video, no, is from 3 years ago. This is not happening. Muslims are debating on Twitter, are now known as X. Right? Elon Musk takes over. You know what this reminded me of? The statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرَجُلٍ فَاجِرٍ. Allah may assist this religion through a transgressing individual. Allah may use him now to bring about something that will be beneficial for the Muslims, which exactly happened. We were able to see by the second what was coming out and exactly what was happening. And this also caused the non-Muslims to really open up their eyes. Maybe if it was still being censored, all of these non-Muslims wouldn't have seen it. Are you prophets with me? Right? Likewise, when you look at the issue of divorce, or maybe missing out on a sister that you so badly wanted. Huh? Your Bushra. She's the only one that will bring me happiness. You try everything in your power now to get married to her, but it just doesn't work out. Years go by. Right? Allah blesses you with a lady that the mind couldn't imagine. This is when you say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Sah? Likewise, when it comes to divorce, how many times have I come across a brother saying, Wallahi, that was the best thing that happened in my life. Right? Because so many things happen after that, and I wouldn't have what I have today if it wasn't for that. Sometimes we, over time, are able to start making sense of things that happened. Right? And sometimes we may not necessarily be able to do so. But you need to accept, my brothers and my sisters, وَلِلَّهِ الْحِكْمَةُ الْبَالِغَةِ. The divine wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's not something, my brothers and my sisters, that you can really get your neck around. Allah is wise and He's all knowledgeable. If you look at Surah Yusuf, you will find it. All wise and all knowledgeable. Many times being mentioned in Surah Yusuf. Yes, Allah knows what you're going through, my friend. Right? He knows that what you're going through. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forsaken you or is unaware of your situation. Knows exactly. But He's all wise as well. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam being thrown in the well. Right? And then later on being found. And then growing up in the house of Al-Aziz. All of that, my brothers, my sisters, wallahi, when you contemplate Surah Yusuf, how it started, where it ended up, you're thinking, how unfair. That's according to your comprehension. Right? Are you promises with me? Now, very, very quickly, my brothers, my sisters, are you guys tired? Are things now beginning to make sense? Right? One thing I forgot to mention, the issue about Khadr and Musa, when he ripped his head off his head. Right? You know what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said right end? وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامَ الَّذِي قَتَلَهُ الْخَضِرُ طُبِعَ كَافِرًا وَلَوْ عَاشَ لَأَرْهَقَ أَبَوَيْهِ طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. Had this young child lived on, he would have driven his parents to disbelief. Right? Musa couldn't understand. Couldn't make sense of it. Right? And he's a prophet. How about me and you? You know how many a time, my brothers and sisters, I've come across parents that began to wish they never gave birth to their kids. Wallahi الذي لا إله غيره. Or they begin to wish that something takes him off the face of this earth. Why? The parents have become sick and tired nurturing them, begging them to stay at home, stop hanging around the streets of London. Don't be with this crowd, right? Not knowing whether they're going to make it alive back into the house after they've left. The mother goes to sleep worried every day. It's killing her inside. Right? Now these parents, they're probably thinking to themselves that their son has been killed by Khadir. Why is my son being taken away? Not realizing that this is actually protecting them from that which is far worse. Right. Isn't that so, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? A car crash happens. Three young children, and the only one that comes out alive is the mother. It's hard, huh, to see the good in all of this. Look at the issue that I just mentioned right now about Al-Khadir. These kids grow up, wallahi, they could be the reason why you end up in Jahannam because of how you start dealing with the situation. Or certain steps that you end up taking. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us another perspective. He said, مَا مِنْ كُنَّ مِنْ أَحَدٍ تُقَدِّمُ ثَلَاثًا مِنْ وَلَدِهَا إِلَّا كَانَ لَا حِجَابًا مِنَ النَّارِ. There's not a woman that loses three kids, except that this will now become what? A barrier between her and the hellfire. Right? So a woman, she said, what about two, O Messenger of Allah, what about two? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no problem. If you lose two, you get two as well. You get that as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. Huh? Everything happens for a reason, my brothers and my sisters. Our intellects are limited, right? To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, I think it might be worth mentioning some of these powerful statements of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala as to why sometimes you are made to go through hardships and difficulties. And I really like this one. He says, لَوْلَا مِحَنُ الدُّنْيَا وَمَصَائِبُهَا لَأَصَابِ الْعَبْدَ مِنْ أَدْوَاءِ الْكِبْرِ وَالْعُجْبِ وَالْفَرْعَنَةِ وَقَسْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. Right? If it wasn't for these difficulties, these hardships, and these trials and tribulations that you go through, right? One would become afflicted with arrogance, self-amazement. He will start picking up Fir'auni type of characteristics and traits. And his heart will become hardened. Then he says, my brothers and my sisters, and I love the way he words it. He says, مَا هُوَ سَبُوا هَلَاكِ عَاجِلًا وَآجِلًا. This will lead him now to destruction. In this dunya before the hereafter, and look what he says. فَمِن رَحْمَةِ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَمِن رَحْمَةِ أَرْحَمِ الرَّاحِمِينَ أَن يَتَفَقَّدَهُ فِي الْأَحْيَانِ بِأَنْوَاعٍ مِنْ أَدْوِيَةِ الْمَصَائِبِ. Out of all the names that Ibn al-Qayyim could have used, he referred to Allah Azza wa Jal as the most merciful from those who show mercy. That Allah, through His mercy, causes you to go through these hardships. Because it's merciful for you at this moment in time. Allahu Akbar. Right? From His mercy is that He's protecting you from arrogance. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبي مثقال حبة من خردل من الكبر. Mustard grain of kibir, right? You will not enter into al-jannah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. So it's from the rahmah of Allah that He makes you go through these hardships, my brothers and my sisters. بأنواع من أدوية المصائب تكون حمية له من هذه الأدواء. Which will protect him from all of these different trials and tribulations, these hardships. Sorry, all of these sicknesses and these diseases, like kibir, self-amazement, and so on and so forth. Also, my brothers and my sisters, Allah may make you go through something extremely difficult, right? In order to purify, so when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in the best possible state. Ibn al-Qayyim says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا سَقَاهُ دواء من الابتلاء والامتحان على قدر حال حتى إذا هذبه ونقاه وصفاه أهله لأشرف مراتب الدنيا وعبودية وأرفع ثواب الآخرة وهو رؤيته وقربه. Right. If Allah wants good for an individual, He will, right? He used the term saqah, which you would normally use to water something. He will water you, my brothers and my sisters, with tests and hardships. Right? To the point, my brothers and my sisters, He purifies you. Right? You are refined. And then this is when you become suitable for the greatest of positions, and that is al-ubudiyah, servitude. Right? And the highest types of reward and greatest of it, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being close to Him. Right? To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, let me ask you all a question. If I go through a hardship now, is it because Allah loves me? Or is it because it is due to my sins? Huh? A lot of time we find that someone goes through a hardship, Allah loves me. Right? Which is true, sah? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, right? Inna Allah, what was the hadith? Naam, inna Allah idha habba shakhsan ibtalah. If Allah loves an individual, He tests him. أشد الناس بلاءً الأنبياء فالأمثل يبتلى الإنسان على قدر دينه. The most severely tested people are who? The prophets. Those like them and those like them. So a brother goes through a hardship and he says, oh, Allah loves me. I'm a wonderful servant. ما رأيكم? Is it because of this or is it because of his sins? Huh? He said because of his sins. What's your evidence, ya Sheikh? When Allah said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whenever you're struck with a calamity, it is only because of what you have earned with your own hands. So which one is it? Is the Quran now contradicting with one another? Sins. Huh? Sins. It's a sins. Okay, what do we do with all of the other evidences? طيب, جميل. Anyone else? Either. Huh? Either. He says either. قد يكون هذا وقد يكون ذاك. It could be this or it could be that. Huh, anyone else? Hi, Jama'ah. It's a tough question. And the simple answer, my brothers and my sisters, is that you cannot say with surety whether it's because of this or whether it's because of that. That's one of the best answers that I heard. So what do? We put ourselves in a win-win situation. What is the win-win situation? You raise the possibility that it was because of a sin. It could be that Allah loves you, but you raise the possibility that it was because of a sin. So what do? You repent to Allah. Have you lost out on anything if it was because Allah loves you? Seeking forgiveness. Many people, and this is a misconception, many people think that you only seek forgiveness when you've done something wrong. This is a huge misconception in our religion. Or that is, sorry, associated to our religion. La abadan. Allah loves those who constantly keep going back to Him, right? And loves those who are pure. You raise the possibility that it was because of a sin. If it was because of a sin, you've now repented. If it was because Allah loves you, you've only increased in ranks, huh? Right. Are you brothers and sisters with me? It could be someone is wronging you. Right? Is it also because of your sin that someone now all of a sudden has come and started wronging you? Right? It could be because of sin, but that doesn't mean that, right? It could, doesn't mean that he is right to do so. So what do we do? We turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. I really liked what Ibn Taymiyyah, I was actually telling a brother now that's going through a bit of a calamity. Huh? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْعَبْدَ يَقْعُ فِي النَّاسِ إِذَا أَذَوْهُ وَلَا يَرْجُعُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ بِاللَّوْمِ وَالِاسْتِغْفَارِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مُصِيبَتُهُ مُصِيبَةٌ حَقِيقِيَّةٌ. When you see somebody now, my brothers, my sisters, retaliating after he's been harmed. Of course, like I said, it doesn't give him the right to harm you. Right? You see him retaliating. It's always their fault, the way we are sometimes as human beings. We're ready to point the finger at everyone except ourselves. There's no blame on us whatsoever. Right? He doesn't go back and hold himself to account. He's not self-critical of that. This person is suffering from a calamity. And look what he says. If this individual returns to Allah, right? Repents, seeks forgiveness, that calamity will become a ni'mah for him. It will become a blessing for him. Inshallah ta'ala, I think that's enough said with regards to this topic. Yeah? If you guys have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, we're more than happy to go with it. Barakallahu feekum.